Open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. You'll find that on page 983 in the Pew Bible. 983, Jonah chapter 2. Just to recap where we're at in this story, God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh, the wicked city of Nineveh, and warn the city of God's coming judgment. Excuse me. But Jonah knew that if he warned the people of Nineveh and they repented, Jonah knew that God would be compassionate and merciful. And he didn't want God to be merciful to the people of Nineveh, so he ran away in the opposite direction. He set sail for the city of Tarshish, which is on the other side of the known world. And as he sailed west, God sent a great storm to come and pass over that ship so that it nearly sank. And in order to calm the sea, at Jonah's advice, the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And not long after Jonah hit the water, he was swallowed by a big fish, and he lived in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Chapter 2 is what Jonah prays to God inside the belly of the fish. So follow along as I read Jonah chapter 2, all 10 verses. Remember, this is God's holy, satisfying word. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. That's the inspired, unchanging word of God. Throughout his ministry here on earth, Jesus interacted with some pretty shady characters. He ate meals with people who were who had bad reputations, prostitutes, thieves, people like that. The Pharisees, who were the hypocritical leaders of the church at that time, they talked among themselves about how Jesus shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't associate with such people. Jesus knew that they were talking about him, and so he told them a parable. He said that there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, I want my inheritance now. And so his father gathered the equivalent of his inheritance in money, apparently, and gave it to him. Shortly after he got his inheritance, he left home. And over the next years, he squandered all that money on parties and women. And pretty soon, he was poor and desperate for money, and he took a job feeding pigs. He was so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the pigs ate. Well, one day, as he starved, he came to his senses. He remembered his father's servants. They have more than enough food. And he decided to go back home. So he traveled back home to submit himself, not as a son, but as a servant of his father. He knew he wasn't worthy to be called a son. Well, while he was still a long way off, his father saw his son, saw this son of his, and he was filled with compassion. And he ran and he embraced him and kissed him. And the first words that his son said to him, he said, "Father, I've sinned against God and against you, and I'm not worthy to be your son. But I'll be your servant." And his father wouldn't hear it. Instead of employing him as a servant, he treated him again as his own son. And he put the best family robes on him. He put rings on his fingers and he celebrated his son's return. Jesus told this story to show how, just like the father in this story, God is eager and ready to show compassion on those who, no matter what they have done, repent of their sin and turn again to Him. The story speaks of God's compassion. In the story of Jonah, we see again this God who is quick, eager, and ready to show compassion on people who don't deserve it. On people like Jonah. On people like you and me. In fact, the Bible is loaded with examples of how God shows compassion on people. Even after they've been stubborn and have done horrible things, God shows compassion. God bombards us with these examples of His compassion to assure us that as we come to Him, He is eager and ready to show us compassion. And as we come to Him and experience His compassion again and again throughout our lives, we also ought to be filled with that same kind of compassion for people who don't deserve it. As God is eager and ready to show you compassion, let your heart and your life be filled with compassion toward all people, toward those around you. Last week we watched Jonah continue in his stubbornness, in his stubborn ways. He refused to follow God's command to go to the city of Nineveh, and that revealed that Jonah's highest allegiance, his highest allegiance was not given to God, but it was given to something else, an idol. He didn't care that God wanted him to go to Nineveh. He wasn't going to do it. And so God sent that storm, and in the midst of the storm, instead of repenting and turning to God, he had the sailors throw him overboard. He chose to die instead of to follow God. And as he began to drown, he was swallowed by a fish. And the first verse in this second chapter says that Jonah offered a prayer to God while he was still inside that fish. Now, you might expect Jonah to be praying for deliverance. Save me from the belly of the fish. But instead, Jonah is praising God for his salvation and his deliverance. And inside of the fish, Jonah gave thanks to God for his salvation. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why is Jonah giving thanks to God for being inside of a fish, being stuck? Well, Jonah's prayer explains to us why he's rejoicing in God's salvation and not asking God for salvation. Within the prayer, he tells us what happened after he hit the water on that stormy night. In verse 3, it says, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me." He saw that God had ordained all the things that had come up to that point. "All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven from your sight." Verse 5 continues, "The waters close in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars would close upon me forever." These verses are recounting what happened after Jonah hit the water that night. Jonah thought that that was it. This was the end. He couldn't keep his head above the water. The surface of the water, the stormy waves were crashing over him. He was entangled in seaweed. He thought he was going to be imprisoned in death. This seemed to be what he wanted. When he was on the ship, he demonstrated that he would rather die than repent and follow God. He wanted to be thrown overboard. But now as he struggled underwater, as he stared death in the face, as he panicked, this was the point when Jonah was completely broken before God. And all of a sudden, Jonah didn't want to die anymore. He didn't want to run from God anymore. And Jonah said in verse 7 that as his life began to fade away, as he grew faint, as he was beginning to lose consciousness, it was at that moment that he remembered the Lord. Finally, in what appeared to be the last moments of his life, his stubborn heart was broken. And it was at that moment that Jonah fully surrendered his heart to the Lord and was ready to do whatever the Lord commanded. Well, this is what God was waiting for. This is what God was aiming at, to see Jonah broken. He wanted to see Jonah's heart completely broken towards God and his full allegiance given to God alone. And at the moment of Jonah's cry to God, God had a huge fish waiting, standing by, waiting for his command. And at the moment of his repentance, he commanded the fish to come in and scoop him up. The fish was, in fact, God's salvation. I have to correct the way that I portrayed this last week. Last week, I gave the impression that Jonah was stuck in a bad place being caught in that fish. That his situation went from bad, being stuck in the boat in the storm, to being slowly digested by a fish. But here in chapter 2, it's obvious that Jonah's not sulking there in the belly of the fish, but actually he's rejoicing because he rightly saw that the fish was indeed God's salvation. The fish had saved Jonah's life. Jonah understood that God rescued him by way of a fish. This shows that immediately after Jonah's repentance, immediately once his heart was broken, God instantly showed compassion on him and rescued him from death. We don't know the exact timing and sequence of what happened when Jonah was there underwater as he was losing consciousness. All we know is that not long after his short prayer of turning to God, Jonah was swallowed by a fish. And some commentators think that Jonah actually died. He drowned. And then was swallowed by a fish, and then God breathed life into him again while he was still in the belly of the fish. Or maybe what happened was that Jonah lost consciousness there underwater and then was swallowed and regained consciousness at some point inside the fish. We don't know exactly what happened, but what we do know is that God was there with Jonah at the bottom of the sea, eagerly waiting, ready to show compassion the moment he repented. The moment he turned to God, God was ready to save him. God is eager and ready to show compassion to stubborn old Jonah the moment he repented and turned to him. And you can imagine Jonah as he was revived inside that fish, or as he regained consciousness and realized that he was alive. I imagine, or you can imagine waking up in pitch darkness. You are completely soaked. It probably stunk. It would be scary. But Jonah knew that his life had just been saved. He was rejoicing. Through the fish, God had spared him from death, and from the belly of the fish, he rejoiced in God's salvation. Jonah knew he deserved to drown and die, but the moment he cried out to God, God had compassion on him and saved him. There are two things to learn from this story. Two things I want to point out. First, we learn that if you are still alive, It's not too late to turn to God, for God is eager and ready to show compassion. Jonah was running from God, and he found himself sinking below the surface of the water, beginning to lose consciousness, and he cried out to God, knowing that even in the last moments of his life, it was not too late to turn. And the moment he cried out, God saved him. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that my sins are too big, or my sins have gone on far too long, or I've repeated these sins too many times, I've asked forgiveness too many times, that this time, in my situation, God wouldn't forgive me. I've asked for forgiveness too many times to be forgiven again. Before God forgives me, I have to prove myself to Him. I have to show Him that I've changed, and then maybe He'll forgive me. And we forget that God is quick, ready, and eager to show compassion, to forgive, and to save. And when we forget that, it keeps us from turning to Him. Why would God love me now? Why would He ever save me after being so faithful, so unfaithful, so stubborn for so long? After I've spent my life pursuing idols, after I've lived for myself for so long, after I've deliberately chosen to disregard His commands, why would God ever show compassion? And Satan says the same thing to us. He says, God, there's no way God will accept you this time. You've done too much. And these are lies that keep us from falling on our knees and crying out to God. God is ready and eager to show compassion, to forgive, and to save. And He's simply calling us to turn to Him. Surrender your idols, those things that you want more than God. Give them up and set your heart on God alone. Cling to Him with your might. And just as Jonah did, cry out to Him and trust Him to save you. And He will. For God is quick and eager and ready to show compassion, to forgive, and to save. There are loads and loads and loads of examples, including the example here in Jonah, that show that God is ready and eager. He's ready at a moment's notice to show compassion. When God spoke to Moses in Exodus, He described Himself as compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and truth. God is ready to show compassion. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God desires repentance, and the moment we turn to Him, He shows compassion. Jesus, as He approached the city of Jerusalem, knowing that this city was about to execute Him on a cross, He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want it." Jesus was ready and eager to show compassion to this city of Jerusalem, this city that wanted to kill Him, if only they would turn to Him. But they refused. Sometimes in our own minds we evaluate our sin, where we are on our level of sin. And if it's too much, it's easy to conclude. Or if it's too much or it's been too habitual, if we continue to repeat it all the time, then we conclude that it's just too much to forgive. God won't forgive this time. If you find yourself thinking these kinds of thoughts, then I want you to listen to this story. King Manasseh was the king of Judah. He was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king, a godly king. But Manasseh was entirely wicked, possibly the most wicked king in the history of Judah. And he was king for 55 years, a long time he reigned. He worshipped every god but the true God. He built altars to Baal and to Asherah. He desecrated God's temple by building altars there that were used to worship the sun and moon and stars. And he had an idol placed inside the temple. He was involved in sorcery and witchcraft. He even offered his own sons as sacrifices to these false gods. He used an altar there. He offered these sacrifices, his son, as a sacrifice to the god of Molech. And the altar to the god of Molech was made of big bronze hands. Big bronze hands cupped like a bowl. And underneath those bronze hands would be lit a fire. And that fire would burn underneath those hands, heating them up so that they were red hot. And when they were ready, Manasseh placed his own sons on that burning hot bronze. And his sons were fried to death. Manasseh was a wicked, wicked king. He did things that not even the pagan countries around Judah did. And repeatedly, throughout his life, God confronted Manasseh, but Manasseh refused to turn to God. Well, finally, God sent the Assyrians to invade Judah, and they wreaked havoc on Jerusalem. They took Manasseh prisoner. They put a hook through his nose and took him to maybe even Nineveh. And while in prison there, in Assyria, Manasseh was finally broken. And it says he sought the favor of the Lord. He humbled himself before God. And how did God respond? You may think, you know, relative to Manasseh, Jonah wasn't that bad. It wouldn't have been that hard to show mercy on Jonah. He wasn't rebellious for that long. But if it were too late for anyone, it was too late for Manasseh. 50 years of wickedness and sin. Not just his own, but he's leading the nation into committing these sins. You've done harm for far too long, Manasseh. But what did God do? God heard his prayer and he had compassion on him. He forgave him. He saved him. He brought him back to his own land. He had compassion on this man who led the nation in sins that not even pagans would do. It's never too late. While you are still alive on this earth, it is never too late. Your sins are never too big, because God is quick, eager, and ready to show compassion on those who turn to him. He's ready to forgive and to save. Just as God was with Jonah there at the bottom of the sea, awaiting the moment of Jonah's repentance to bring compassion, so God is waiting in your life, working to bring you to repentance. And the moment you repent, he's eager to show compassion. When Jesus hung on the cross, there were two others who were crucified next to him. And one of them said to Jesus, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Here's a man who just moments earlier confessed his own guilt to the sins that he was being executed for. He'd lived a life of wickedness, but just before he died, he turned to God. And how did Jesus respond? "It's too late. Sorry." No, he says, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was quick and ready to show compassion on those who don't deserve it. It's not too late. Your sin is not too great to turn to God. For God is eager and ready to show compassion. Not long ago, I was talking with an older man, a man who knew the Bible, a man actually who had gone to seminary for a little while. And we got on the topic of God and what happens after we die. And he said, oh, it's too late for me. It's too late for me. He knew that he had turned his back on God. He deliberately, he knew God's word, and he deliberately turned from him. He knew the truth and he didn't believe it. He knew many parts of the Bible, but he didn't know God. He said, it's too late for me. You yourself may be here thinking, there's no good reason why God should forgive me. I continue to wallow in my own sin. I return to my own vomit. I go back to the things that I gave up. The sins that used to enslave me, they continue to haunt me. You know the bad things that you've done, and you've not only done it once, but you do it again and again, and you are right. There's no good reason why God should forgive you. There's no good reason why God should forgive me. But for His glory, so that He would be known as the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, He is eager and ready to forgive. But don't wait. Don't put this off. You may not have another day left. Today is the day of salvation. Turn to Him now. Cry out to Him with your entire being. Give up your idols. And God will save you. God promises and has demonstrated all throughout history, again and again and again, that those who come to Him through Jesus Christ, He will show compassion. He will never drive them away. Some of you here may not know God, and you may think that your life is far too messed up for God to be compassionate to you, that God will want nothing to do with you. Well, the good news is that it's not too late to turn to God, because through Jesus Christ, God is quick, eager, and ready to show compassion. Now turn from your sinful ways, turn again to God, and you will be poured out, and God will pour out His compassion on you. Others of you here may know God, but you continually fall into the habit of sin, and you're living maybe a dual life. There's a different life that you live in private than you do in public. You say you believe in God, but your life is very contrary to that. And you may think, I've turned to God so many times, but then fallen back into my old ways that He would never forgive me anymore. Yes, He will. The good news is the same for you. It's not too late to turn again to God, because through Jesus Christ, God is eager and ready to show compassion, to forgive, and to save. So that's the first thing that we learn from this story. God is eager and ready to show compassion. The second thing that we learn builds on this concept. Because God is eager and ready to show compassion to us, we also ought to be ready to show compassion to those around us. This was the message that God was driving home to Jonah. Jonah did not want God to be gracious and compassionate to the people of Nineveh, and so he tried to run away from God. He tried to run away from God. He was rebellious. He deserved to drown. But immediately after Jonah repented and cried out to God, God immediately had compassion. And He miraculously saved him. His message to Jonah was loud and clear. See how gracious I've been to you. See how eager I have been to show you compassion. Now I want you to be eager to show compassion to the people of Nineveh, to show compassion to people who are hard to love. God has given us the command to make disciples of all nations, to scatter the seed of the gospel all over the land. And the primary reason we are to do this is because God has been compassionate to us. The more we understand the mercy of God in our lives, the more that we will be driven to reach out to those around us. Over the next years, we want to develop as a congregation in our outreach, in our evangelism, in impacting this community around us. We want to see people come to Christ. We want to see people discipled. We want to see God transform this community. We want to hold out the word of truth as it's backed up by a life of compassion. We want to see God transform the lives of people who don't deserve it, just like us. Are we there, though? Are we ready? Are we eager to show compassion? Are you so thankful, so overwhelmed by God's compassion toward you that your life is marked by that same compassion? Are you eager to be compassionate to your neighbors and your co-workers and to your community because God has been compassionate to you? It's easy to think this way, but it's hard to act this way. I guarantee you that as you strive to show compassion, as you strive to be outward oriented, as you strive to reach out to people who are hard to love, I guarantee you that people will try and take advantage of you. They're going to try to take advantage of you. But I also guarantee you that they won't do anything to you that you haven't already tried to do to God. And yet God continues to show compassion. When you get worn out trying to be a compassionate follower of God, when you get worn out reaching out to people who spit in your face, remember the compassion that God has shown to you. God gave Jonah a lesson on compassion. And through Jesus Christ, He's given us that same lesson on compassion. As God is eager to show you His compassion, let your heart be filled with compassion toward those around you. Think again of that parable that Jesus told to the Pharisees. The father who was eager to show compassion on his son. He was looking for his son, awaiting his return so that he could show compassion. And his son was probably dirty, smelly. But his father ran out to him and embraced him and loved him. God has shown us this same kind of compassion again and again and again. And now as the church, we also are to be looking for those who have wandered away. And we also are to rejoice at their return. We are to be eager and ready to show compassion. As God is eager to show you His compassion, let your heart and your life be filled with compassion toward those around you. Let's pray. Our God, we rejoice in your great compassion that you have shown to us in Christ. That even as we continue to fall into temptation, as idols continue to creep back into our lives, as stubbornness continues to grow and then be cut down and then grow again, we don't deserve your love. But we rejoice in it. And like Jonah, we offer to you a prayer of thanksgiving because we know that you've saved us through Christ. You have scooped us up the moment that we repented, and our lives are now safe in Christ. We thank you for the great work that you've done on our behalf. Now let us be filled with compassion as we seek to interact with those around us. Help us to do this in a better way, day by day, for your glory. Transform this world. Let your kingdom come, we pray, in Jesus' name.